You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mark King. For this show, another Wednesday edition of the show, the Grizzlies back in action tonight. We'll talk about that matchup and a few other things today. Obviously, the games have been a little slower and fewer and far in between. So we'll start talking about a few different things as the weeks go by. As we get closer to the offseason, we'll talk more about the draft, and we will start talking about certain players the Grizzlies should probably look at. I've kind of waited to do that because we don't really know what's going to happen with the draft pick. I've started watching a little bit, but we'll start having those draft preparation podcasts in the coming weeks, as well as start talking a little bit more about the offseason in the coming weeks as well. But we're going to talk a little bit about the offseason in this show today. After we talk about the preview for the Memphis-Houston game, we're going to spend some time talking about the offseason and what the Grizzlies should do, or what they're going to be able to do financially this offseason. But the Grizzlies back in action tonight against the Houston Rockets. That is going to probably be a loss. But let's talk about it anyway. Let's preview the game like we have done in the past. The game, obviously, is 7 o'clock tonight in Houston, or in the FedEx Forum. The only injury report looks like this for both teams. For Houston, it is Isaiah Hartenstein. He is out. Obviously, has the Achilles injury. That is the only person listed as out for Houston. For Memphis, Avery Bradley is questionable. Kyle Anderson is out. Dylan Brooks is out. Jaren Jackson is out. And CJ Miles is out. Speaking of CJ Miles, news came out yesterday that CJ had he exited the game against the Washington Wizards. This is from Grizzlies PR. He exited the game against the Washington Wizards with left foot soreness, and then he had an MRI, which revealed a stress reaction, which is approximately a 3 to 6 weeks of offloading to resolve. I guess that just means rest. I'm not sure what offloading is. I'm assuming that means no basketball. But 3 to 6 weeks will put him out beyond the season. So CJ Miles is basically out for the season. They're going to have an update, obviously, like they usually do in a few weeks, but you know, they'll probably have an update in like 3 weeks, but the season will be over by then, so it won't matter. So just another blow to the Grizzlies. Like, I don't understand how it really is bizarre at how the Grizzlies always seem to have a lot of injuries. Like, you know, I don't know how it works as far as injury prevention, or how I really don't, I'm not privy to all that information with the Grizzlies, with the Grizzlies training staff and all that stuff. So, I probably don't even understand it as much as I should, but, you know, like, I just, it's so weird how the Grizzlies always seem to have just a ton of injuries and a ton of like big injuries too. And obviously Kyle Anderson, is out for the year. Dylan Brooks, Jaren Jackson, now CJ. I mean, it's seriously a lot of just like, it's got to be a lot of bad luck at this point, because I don't understand how they can consistently have this many issues. I mean, it seems like every year there is some type of injury issue. I guess it is just bad luck. I don't know, but I digress. It's something that it seems like it is always something that we are talking about is injuries. But you know, anyway, CJ Miles out for the year after a stress reaction from that Wizards game. Again, he's out like 3 to 6 weeks, but that will be for the year basically. Starters for tonight: Houston, Chris Paul, James Harden, Eric Gordon, PJ Tucker, and Clint Capella. Starters for Memphis: Mike Conley, Avery Bradley, if he plays, Justin Holiday, Bruno Caboclo, and Jonas Valanciunas. Again, we've talked about this here on the show in the past few days. The rotations are strange, so there's really no telling with our rotations what's going to happen. What's going to happen with the Grizzlies rotation, just because we don't really know what JB's thinking. I'm not sure if anybody knows, but the biggest thing is for the Grizzlies is to really limit the 3-point attempts for the Rockets. Obviously the Rockets, they lead the NBA by just a gigantic percentage. They take almost 45 threes a game. It's something we've talked about here on the show. Perimeter defense is something that the Grizzlies struggle with. Obviously, they lost the game. That was a big factor in that Wizards game over the weekend, was perimeter defense. So perimeter defense is something that's going to probably rear its ugly head tonight against the Rockets. But they have to close out all the way to the three-point line. Make James Harden, Chris Paul, those guys put the ball on the floor and dribble inside the three-point line. Make them drive the basket. Make them put the ball on the floor, and you have a chance at stealing the ball, or maybe on a pass off you get a steal. Those are the type of things you have to do with this Rockets team to be able to beat them. The Grizzlies, the Grizzlies don't shoot a lot of threes, and the Rockets shoot a ton. So it's probably, there's going to be a lot of shots for the Rockets, but you have to make those, you have to put those to bad shots. You have to force them into bad looks because they're going to shoot the threes. James Harden is going to shoot threes. But if you can put a hand in his face or force him to make a shot that is not in rhythm, that is not wide open, those are the type of things you have to do. Those are the type of things you have to do with the Rockets, because they're so good at shooting the three ball that it's kind of crazy. But that's something that they're going to struggle with all game long. And not to mention James Harden gets just a ton of just crap fouls. I mean, like, just, and I for one, like, I just don't like the way that James Harden plays, just because of the fact that he's always like foul hunting, and I'm not a big fan of that. I can understand and respect that James Harden is a good basketball player, but it doesn't mean I have to like him. And I don't like the way he plays, but that's just part of his game. So he's going to be constantly, constantly looking for fouls and ways to take advantage of the rule. So you have to really be aware of that. And really, when you're playing defense, be aware of what he is trying to do, not only with taking threes, but just trying to create space, create fouls, create contact, all those things. So, they're going to take, again, like 45 threes a game. They make like 37% of them. So, they don't make them at an enormous clip, but they take so many that it doesn't really matter. The other thing that the Grizzlies need to try to do is get Jonas involved, get Jonas going early. They don't really have anybody that can really match up to Jonas Valanciunas on the block. I mean, Nene is one of their bigs, but there's a question mark. He is questionable in this game as well. I'm not sure if he will play. He wasn't listed on the injury report, but he's listed on basketball reference as on that injury report. So I'm not sure if he'll play or not. It's kind of a question mark. If he doesn't play, if Nene doesn't play, then the Grizzlies have a huge advantage inside with Jonas Valanciunas, and they really, really need to get Jonas Valanciunas going early and to use that kind of presence. Use those guys to go up against. If Nene doesn't play, they're probably looking at someone like Kenneth Fareed or PJ Tucker, small ball fouls. They play a lot of this small ball basketball. And so you have to take advantage of your size and your strength on the inside. So hopefully they're able to force those guys into bad matchups on the block, or on pick and rolls, any of those type of things that you're able to do from a center position that puts Jonas in a really, really good chance, a really good position to score the basketball easily. And I think you do those things, and then you're looking. You have a chance. Obviously, we talked about James Harden. He's averaging 20 free throws a game against the Grizzlies, which is like insane. And there was a game after Christmas, I don't know when it was exactly, but he had like almost 30 free throw attempts, which is just, again, is not the way I like to play, but I like to watch basketball. That is the worst part about James Harden's game, is seeing him. I'm just not a fan of James Harden going to the free throw line and seeing him walk up there 30 times a night. That's not a good look for basketball, but that's going to happen. And the Grizzlies have to just understand it. And as well as fans, as we watch the game, it's going to happen. Just understand it and hopefully try to limit limit those attempts from James Harden. But again, the biggest thing for them is going to be perimeter defense and inside basketball. Perimeter defense is going to be the number one key to slowing this team down. If you can do that, I think they have a chance. I'm not sure they have a chance overall. Houston is in a playoff hunt as well. The Grizzlies, they're just in the way. Maybe they could play spoiler and really get a win tonight. But and that would be the group that would like to be the most Grizzlies thing of all time, because that's just what they do. Every time we think they're going to go out and win a game, games they should lose, they go out and do the exact opposite. So it wouldn't like surprise me to see the Grizzlies go out and win tonight, just because that's just the kind of thing they do. Anyway, when we get back from the break on the other side, we're going to talk about some of the stuff coming up in the summer, what the Grizzlies can and can't do with the cap money that they have. So stay tuned through the break. Did you know that you can fill out a tournament bracket at DraftKings this year? That's right. DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, has a totally free bracket with tens of thousands of dollars up for grabs. Everyone fills out a bracket every single year at tournament time. You might as well do it on an award-winning app with tons of free prizes. For the first time ever, DraftKings is offering a bracket battle promotion. $64,000 in prizes up for grabs this year. That is amazing. It works out just like any other tournament bracket you would fill out. You just go in there before the tip-off of every single game, before the first game. You just pick the winner of every game, every round. That's all there is to it. You could have Gonzaga as the winner. I've seen some people do that. For me, I'm a Duke guy. I think Duke and Zion Williamson are going to win it all. I think it would be awesome to have a Duke North Carolina final matchup. That would be amazing. But it's super, super easy to do. Works like any other tournament bracket challenge that you do. All you have to do is you can play for free. Just use promo code Dribble and you can play for absolutely free. You can even set up a private group to play with friends and challenge them. Maybe put a little more money in. It depends on how your friends like to gamble. But again, it's super, super easy to do. Download the DraftKings app or head to DraftKings.com right now. Use promo code Dribble to enter the bracket battle promotion for free and compete for your share of $64,000. That's code Dribble to enter the bracket battle for free only at DraftKings, the game inside the game. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Welcome back to the show. Again, as I mentioned, the Grizzlies take on the Rockets, as we just previewed that game tonight at 7 o'clock in FedEx Forum. Make sure you're down there for that if you can. There's only a few more games left to be able to watch this team play, as the end of the season draws very, very close. And as the end of the season does draw close, the Grizzlies have decisions to make this offseason. They have a lot of players. They have a lot of things happening that they're going to have to make decisions on. And some of those decisions are out of their control. Obviously, we've talked about it on this show. Jonas Valanciunas is out of their control. The CJ Miles decision is out of their control. So those type of things that they can't decide on are what they are. They're probably going to happen. CJ Miles, I would be shocked if he didn't opt in for the $8 million contract. If he doesn't, that frees up a lot of money that you can do other things with. But again, we're going to go into this exercise, assuming that he is opting in, assuming that Jonas Valanciunas does opt in at the $17 million and $8 million. So looking towards the future of what they're going to try to do. The biggest thing that the biggest decision they're going to have to make is on DeLon Wright. What he's going to be able to do in restricted free agency. I've seen people say on this show, I'm just talking to people, I've seen them say he's going to get more than $10 million a year. I personally don't believe that. I personally believe DeLon Wright will probably get somewhere in like the $6, $7, $8 million range, somewhere in that mid-level. Somewhere in that mid-level, that $6 million a year, would be ideal, I think, for him. I think you could see him get somewhere in the $8 million range. That's kind of where I have him pegged for DeLon Wright. But again, it only takes one team to go out and screw it up for everybody else. It only takes one team to be able to be like, I think DeLon Wright is the future. I think he is the best young point guard there is, and then give him $12 million a year. And then at that point, you're kind of, you really have to make a decision on whether you really want DeLon Wright. And if they make DeLon Wright happy at $12 million a year, I think I might lose my mind, because that is not what he's even close to being worth. Not in my mind anyway. So I think that's a big part of it is, you know, you really don't know what other teams are going to offer. They're obviously going to make a qualifying offer for him to make, you know, the way it works is you have to actually make that qualifying offer for him to become a restricted free agent. If you don't extend the qualifying offer to DeLon Wright, he becomes an unrestricted free agent. So the qualifying offer has to start there, which I'm sure they'll do. And if he doesn't go out there and get any offers from anybody else, he can choose to just sign for the qualifying offer. And that will basically give him a 1-year deal, and he'll become an unrestricted free agent, unrestricted free agent next year. I think we've seen, I believe Nerlens Noel did that, kind of, and that's kind of like betting on yourself that you think that in the 1 year, you're going to get even more money than you would right now. So, again, DeLon Wright is the biggest decision they're going to have to make. Other guys coming off the books, it'll be Justin Holiday and Joakim Noah. I don't think either one of those guys will be back, just because, again, I think Joakim Noah has probably played himself into a contract with a better team as a backup big on a better team. I don't see him coming back next year. Justin Holiday, I don't want Justin Holiday back. I don't think they should either. He's not very good. He's not even really that good on a bad team. So I'm not sure if he would be anywhere close to being a decent player on a good team, and will probably be stuck on the bench somewhere. So I don't think he'll be back. I would be surprised if he is. And then they have to make decisions. I believe Tyler Dorsey should be a restricted free agent as well. Again, what they do with him, I think will be very minimal and probably not really a part of this exercise. But so if you look at next year's cap space, assuming that everybody's going to come back that has options, that have player options, then you have around $11 million in cap space, because you have about $119 million tied up in salaries, and the projected luxury tax should be somewhere around $132 million. Now, that's not set in stone until next year, but CBA, but it is projected to be somewhere around 113. So you have around $11-12 million to do what you want to do. And that's assuming that Avery Bradley comes back at 12 million at almost actually 12.9, almost a 13 million for next year. Now, if you're able, now you can, again, with Avery Bradley, you can either keep an arm next year for the 12.9, or you can decide to pay the $2 million to kind of make him go away. And that is basically the guaranteed money for next year. So you can do that. If they do that, that obviously makes Avery Bradley a unrestricted free agent. And they could, I think I'll have to check on this, but I think they could pay the $2 million and still re-sign him in the offseason in the free agency for next year. But I'm not positive. I'll have to check on that. I'm not entirely positive exactly the mechanism there. But either way, if they were to pay the $2 million, then they have somewhere around $21 million, something like that, $22 million, to do something with. And again, that's assuming that's money. Again, they're already going to be over the cap. So you can't just go out and sign players because you're already over the cap. You can only do things to sign players with the mechanisms that you have. You can't just go out and just, because the salary cap is $109 million. So you can't just go out and do whatever you want. If you're over the salary cap, you can't just go out and use whatever money you have available to sign whatever players you want. That's not how it works. So you have the salary cap, and then you have the luxury tax. And the luxury tax is not a hard cap, but it is for the Grizzlies, because they're never going to go into the luxury tax for anybody. So they're not going to do that. So it really is a hard cap for the Grizzlies. So if you're over the salary cap in the NBA, you can only sign players via, you can go over the cap to re-sign your own players. You can use a mid-level exception. You can use a biannual exception. These are these are all exceptions that you can use if you're over the cap. So really the only thing the Grizzlies can do to go out and sign a free agent would be their mid-level exception, which is what they've used. Usually every single year they use this to sign. That's what they used to sign Kyle Anderson last year. So they'll have that, which is about $9 million. And if you re-sign DeLon Wright at the expected somewhere around the same mid-level, that's all your money. That's it. And if you decide to pay Avery Bradley at the amount that you want to bring him back, you want him back for next year, and you decide to pay Avery Bradley again, which I don't think they will. I'm assuming that they're probably going to pay the guaranteed money, and Avery Bradley will be gone. But I don't know for sure. Obviously, it's their decision, so I have no way to know for sure. I'm just basing off what I just kind of assumptions I have made based on other things. So if they do that, that's $2 million that they have to pay up front, but they get the other $10 million basically back. But if they decide to keep Avery Bradley, then you're looking at basically $12 million to do. There's not a whole lot to do with it. Then that's when like someone like Tyler Dorsey does come into play. Even if you're giving Tyler Dorsey $2 million a year, that's still $2 million. Now you have 10, you know, even, let's say you gave Tyler Dorsey $2 million a year. And that's $10 million. Now you're looking at DeLon Wright. If he comes in, if he gets a mid-level exception, $8 million a year, then you're almost out of money. You can still use your mid-level exception. You can use up to the amount of the mid-level. You don't have to use all of it in one spot. You can still technically have $4 million of your mid-level exception left, but what are you really going to get for $4 million? So we mentioned this the other day, or Joe Mullinex mentioned this on the show the other day about waiting till next offseason. Because next offseason, if there's a lot of money coming off the books, especially if Jonas Valanciunas just opts in for the 1 year, there's no kind of extension for Jonas. If you're going to have Chandler Parsons deal coming off. So that's almost $40 million right there. Just boom. In one fell swoop. And if Avery Bradley decides to opt in, that's another $13 million. CJ Miles would be coming off the books. That's another $9 million. There's a lot of money that could be coming off your books in the next offseason. So, if I'm the Grizzlies, I would do nothing. I would maybe sign DeLon Wright if the money is right. I would maybe sign DeLon Wright if he is presented to me and a restricted free agent that is good enough that is good enough to justify having him on a long-term deal. If I would do that and I would I would take Avery Bradley's non-guaranteed money and I would have him, off the books for next year and pay him his $2 million, get him to go away. And then I would, if there is a free agent out there with the money that Avery Bradley is going to leave behind, if there is a free agent out there, someone like Kyle Anderson that is coming, that is kind of a younger player that has some established elements about his game, whether he's offensively or defensively, if there's a player out there like that, that they did last year with Kyle Anderson, we used him to lock him up for a long time on a good contract with the mid-level exception, that's what I would do. But beyond that, I wouldn't go use the mid-level just to use it. There's no reason you have to go out and sign players that you like just because you want to. I mean, you have to sign players because you have to have a minimum number on the roster, but you can fill that up with veteran minimums if you wanted to. You don't have to use that for a actual player that you're going to try to incorporate into your system. So I would maybe sign DeLon Wright. And then beyond that, if there is a good player that's out there that wants to come here and sign for a good number for a long contract for a 4 year deal, that's what I would use my mid level on. And then I would wait it out. Joe was exactly right. I would wait it out until next year. And next year, Hopefully you have, you know, a really, really good draft pick going on to going into next year. And then hopefully you're able to have a lot of money to probably, you know, overpay for some of those type of guys. Like Joe mentioned, someone that is coming off a contract that probably isn't going to get max money, that is a restricted free agent that probably won't get max money, but you can offer them max money knowing full well that other teams will have to really, really think about paying them that kind of money because they're really not sure. So that would be I think that's the best course of action. And we didn't even talk about if the Grizzlies have a draft pick this year, they have to pay him too. So if the Grizzlies happen to have a draft pick this year, that complicates the money even more than it already has, like we've talked about. So if they have a draft pick, they have to pay that player too, and it makes it even more convoluted. So that's even more why we should be hoping that they get rid of this draft pick, because it makes the money a little bit easier in the offseason just to make everything work. So hopefully they don't have a draft pick because they really can't afford to do all the things they even, you know, remotely want to do. So, and you save all that money again for next year. You have a draft pick next year. You pay them then. You have a lot of money to work with. Hopefully you go out and make offers to some restricted free agents who are really, really good. And if you have to max those players or have to overpay them to get them here, that's just what you have to do at this franchise. You're a small market. The only way to get people to come here is to overpay them sometimes. We'll take a quick break and we will come back and finish up the show. Welcome back to the show. Again, I appreciate everyone subscribing in iTunes, subscribing wherever you're at. If you're not already subscribed, please do that. Where the podcast is on every single platform, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, literally wherever you get your podcast. If you're not already getting your questions in for Monday Mailbag, please do that. If you're not already following the show on Twitter, you can follow the show on Twitter at LockedOnGrizz. You can follow me on Twitter at King_producer. Make sure you do that. That's where we will continue the conversation after the show. If you want to be a future sponsor on the show, please email me at LockedOnGrizz@gmail.com. We have a lot of really good numbers. We have a really good rate. So please get in touch with me. We can work something out. If you're still unsure where to go, you still don't know how to find the podcast, just go to LockedOnGrizzlies.com.